It is a great morning. Let's go to Hebrews, please. Hebrews chapter 3. In these last weeks, we've been talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to continue to consider him, different aspects of his life, his ministry, and most of all right now, the titles that he receives in the scriptures. In Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." He's called the apostle and the high priest. This is the only place in the Bible that this particular phrase is used, and the only place that he's called the apostle in the scripture. And I just thought that it's hard to read over there. I just thought that we would go through this. In order to understand these two different things, I think the high priest is the most understood among us as far as scripture is concerned. In Hebrews chapter 4, I just want to take you there for a second. And like I said, I believe that the high priest part is understood better than the apostle. So I want to do both, but I want to bring to your attention, and you got to allow the scriptures. You must allow the scriptures to tell you what it says and make known exactly what God Almighty means and communicates to you about it. All right, you can't just, I think it's this. If you read it, then you know. If you can't read it, then you don't know. And in chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The high priest, his mission was to serve God. That's why God ordained Aaron. When God's, he made high, it says in the scriptures that he was to serve the Lord. That's why God consecrated him and ordained him. Jesus Christ also is serving the Lord. A priest serves God. Okay? It says that you are all a royal priesthood. It says in the scriptures, doesn't it? It says in Peter, you are royal priesthood. You serve God. Now, nobody has ordained you, quote, end of quote. You don't wear fancy robes, all right? I'm just simply saying to you, God considers you all priests to him. And you are to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You're to sing praises unto him. You're to pray. You're to pray for others and serve him. We worship him. We live our lives for him. Jesus Christ is the apostle and the high priest. He's the only high priest. And it's patterned after what the scripture says in the Old Testament. We'll get to that a little later, but I want to do the apostle, because I think most people have a wrong or misunderstanding about the apostle. Well, they don't have any understanding at all. I want you to go to 2 Peter. In 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter is at the end of his life, and he is speaking to the church And we're going to start in verse 14. Excuse me, we'll start in verse 12. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet or adequate, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up and to put you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus Christ had showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my departure, to have these things always in remembrance. So this is what Peter wants is the believers to always remember. For we have not followed cunning devised fables when we made known unto you the power of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses to his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there was such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him on the holy mountain. Peter was an eyewitness to this particular event. And this particular event, when God from heaven says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased," this happens on the Mount of Transfiguration. And it says here, Peter says here, that the Lord received glory and honor, right? Go to Exodus for a minute. 28. This is when Aaron, Moses' brother, in verse 2, when he was consecrated as high priest. It says, "And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, for glory and for beauty." That word beauty is also the word honor. "And thou shalt speak unto all that are of wise heart, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, and that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office." Every single piece of clothing that was designed, God put in the hearts of those who made them. Every single bit. There was nothing that God didn't do. And the point was to dress the high priest in glory and in beauty, or in glory and in honor. Jesus Christ, Peter said, had glory and honor. They saw his majesty. Let's go to the record in Matthew 17. Now, I told you that we were going to cover the apostle first, but that is exactly where it's all in the same place. So I want you to see this. In Matthew 17, in verse 1, it says, "And after 6 days, Jesus takes Peter and James and John, his brother, and brings them up into the high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light." He was transfigured. He was changed. Transfigured mean he literally was changed. "Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make there three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, the voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise, be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. They get to experience this particular thing. Jesus takes them up there, and he's transfigured before them. These men that are with him see this vision of the Lord transfigured, of Moses and of Elijah. And Peter can't help himself. You know, he's got to throw in his two cents. And God basically cuts him off and says, Shut up. All right? This is my beloved Son in whom I hear you him. Stop talking. Listen to him. All right? And obviously, Jesus Christ, Jesus our Lord, was very compassionate to them after Almighty God tells Peter to be silent. But he was changed. His raiment was white as the lice. His face did shine as the sun. I just think that that is so incredible. God clothed. And this is the moment in which Jesus Christ is consecrated high priest. This is when he is clothed with that glory and honor. And all of this happens, it says, actually in verse 1 of 17, it says, After 6 days, Jesus take Peter. So we got to go back to see the context here. So we want to go back to chapter 16. And in verse 21, it says, And from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him and said, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and he said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. And Jesus said unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. And for what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according unto his works. Previous to that, after 6 days, it said in 17. So you go back, the event that happened before is they're having this discussion, who is Christ? You know, the people basically walk away from him because, and then he says to his men in 16, from that time on, he began to tell them of his sufferings, of his death, and of his resurrection. That was the topic. Previous to this, he had been teaching them about the kingdom of God, walking with God a lot, but now he's focused on this particular subject. Go to Luke chapter 9, adds a little information to this. In Luke chapter 9, in verse 22, it says, saying, The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes, and be slain, and be raised the third day. And he said unto them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. So the Lord is teaching them and showing them exactly what is going to happen. And in this particular record is also the transfiguration. And we're going to get to it right. Go to verse 30, because it goes through the same account. Except it says in 28, it says, And it came to pass about an 8 days after these sayings. So one record, it says 6 days. The other record, it says eight. The previous record, there, in other words, there's twice that he spoke to them about, from this point on, I'm going to be talking to you about my death, about my sufferings, and my resurrection. So he went up into the mountain to pray, verse 29, and he prayed, and the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. They spake to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ about his decease, about his death, about his sufferings, about what was going to come and happen. Remember, this is a vision. God gives it to everybody there. Peter, they wanted to build tabernacles, remember? But what was the subject about? The subject is about what Jesus Christ had received by revelation just a week before. And what was it about? Clarity? I don't know. It doesn't tell us what they said, but it does tell you. It doesn't say in Matthew what they talked about. It does tell you in Luke that they talked about his deceit, his departure. We call people that fall asleep deceased. They've departed from this life. Okay? Jesus Christ is the apostle. An apostle is a sent one. What was the purpose that he was sent? To die for our sins. God sent him. Now this is where people get messed up. You know, it says in Ephesians that there are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Paul calls himself an apostle. And many people have the idea that they're bringing new understanding of the word, right? It doesn't say that. That's what people have thought. And certainly Paul brought new understanding when he taught the mystery, right? But that was God choosing to have him do that. The apostle part is you are sent for a purpose. You know, I've met and talked to many pastors, teachers, evangelists, okay? And to tell you the truth, I couldn't figure out if the apostle thing was supposed to be so big, then how come I didn't meet any of those? You know, I've seen teachers, I've seen a lot of great, you know, things that God would work. But I think people have a misunderstanding. Jesus Christ is the sent one to die, the sent one to pay for the sins of mankind. And these, in this record, they are talking to him about his death. And in verse 31, it says, who appeared in glory and shall spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter, when they were with him, were heavy with sleep. And when they were awake, they saw his glory and two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. He had no clue what he was talking about. There are people who like to talk just because they like to talk, you know? That the brain isn't connected to the mouth. But, you know, this is too exciting a moment. I got to talk. I got to say something. You know, it's just the way it is. But he had no clue what he was doing. And while he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. And they kept it close and told no man of those days any of those things which had been seen. They were told not to say it, keep a promise, don't make it known. And they really had no idea why. In fact, it says that in one of the other Gospels. They had no idea why. So Jesus Christ is glory and honor. His garments, his face, his body has changed. Just like the high priest, first of all, God chose him. And he was the sent one. For what purpose? What he spoke of in the context of that moment. His death. His sufferings. What he would have to do in order to accomplish this for God. Paul was sent to speak unto the Gentiles. The fact that you're a sent one on a mission for God is that which an apostle is. You see what I mean? I think that there are quite a few of those people. There are people like, I was reading about Hudson Taylor, I believe it was, and there was a couple other men who God puts it on their heart to go out and be missionaries someplace and saves thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of people in their lives. Those are, in my understanding, a biblical apostle. What were they doing? They were doing the basic things of Christianity. See, Jesus Christ is the high priest, but you are a holy, a royal priesthood. You are priest. Now tell me you don't feel like that. Oh, I don't feel like I'm a priest. And I'll tell you, it doesn't matter what you feel like. You are. You are alive to worship and serve Almighty God. That's the reason that you're alive. And that's what the Lord talked about when he taught after this. He said, "Hey, guys, serve. Pick up your cross and follow me." We are here to serve. And Jesus Christ served. He served and he was sent. He was the sent one. Apostelos is to send forth, and apostolo is to send away. In John chapter 17, I think sometimes the simplest things are missed because we're expecting some grand, you know, like the whole ordination of Christ, that he is the high priest. And there's all the scriptures that are coming up here that'll refer back to this. That glory and honor was just one thing, which was Aaron's robes compared to Christ and what God did for him on that mount. Well, in John 17, let's just go there. I'm in Luke, wrong book. John 17. In verse 3, it says, "And this is eternal life, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast apostolo sent." I'm the one you sent. In verse 8, This is mentioned in this particular chapter. I think it's 8 times. We're just going to read a few of them. For I have given unto them the words which thou gave me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. And that word send again is apostolo. And the last one I'm going to show you is in verse 18. As thou hast sent me unto the world, even so also I send them unto the world. Guess what, folks? You are apostolo also. You got a purpose. I don't know what people, I don't care what people think. I care what God says. Okay? I don't care what I think a lot of times. I really don't. I want to know what my Father says. See, you are the sent ones. Those of us who do this with our heart and our and with our soul, and we sell out to doing the word, which is to be a doulos for the Lord. Those of us who become bond slaves, we have that mind of Christ. We and that mind of Christ in Philippians said we have the mind of a slave. It's one big long Greek word. Those of us who sell out to that are sent ones. You're sent whether you go to work or not, you're sent. But those of us who do this, I mean, we have the ministry of reconciliation. It's as though God is in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. And he has committed unto us this ministry of reconciliation. You've got God in Christ in you, and the whole purpose of your life, the whole purpose of this is now that we have been saved is serve and do. And I don't, you know, you can explain it any which way you want, or you can think about it any which way you want, but you can't get around what the scripture says there. Now, most people want to know, well, what am I supposed to do? Ask God. He's your Father. Ask him. But I can tell you what every one of us is supposed to do. We're supposed to read this word, help people understand it, reconcile others back to God. How you do it, what you do it with, what place you do it in, that is up to you and the Lord. But what you are doing is the same. Do you see what I mean? Some of us will have entree into certain circles of life and others that will not. You know, that we live our lives as a sacrifice to him in loving service, in care, like our Lord did. Our Lord was the example. He was the high priest, right? He was the sent one. But this is not just for him. You are also priests under his high priest, under his order. And you are also sent ones as he was sent, because he sent us. Look at Psalm 110. Just to show you that, again, this 110 is just fabulous. We looked at Psalm 110, I think it was last week. We just did the first two verses, I think. But this whole entire psalm is really a prophecy concerning Christ. But let's pick up another verse here, verse 4. It says, Yahweh hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Almighty God, talking about the Messiah, he says, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek is mentioned in Genesis. He shows up on the scene And Melchizedek is called the priest of the Most High God. And Abraham paid the tithe he gives to Melchizedek. And that's really significant when you read the book of Hebrews. Because Abraham is, we call, he's the patriarch of faith. And yet the greater receives the tithe. And the priest and Melchizedek came forth with bread and wine. Jesus Christ instituted the new covenant with bread and wine. Melchizedek was the king of Salem, Jerusalem. He was the king of righteousness and the king of peace. And Jesus Christ has those titles also. Melchizedek was the first high priest mentioned in Scripture, and Jesus Christ is going to be after his order. Now, whether you understand it or not, the Levitical order, Aaron's line and the Levites came after this. And God set up the law so that we would understand the high priest and his role was to make intercession for the people to God, to bring that sacrifice of blood into the tabernacle once a year. The priests were to serve because the people couldn't come to God. The priests were to serve on behalf to, they would serve God on behalf of the people. So that's why most Catholic churches, they used to have it this way. They turned it around. When I was a kid, the priest always had his back to you. He was always facing the altar. It was like, I'm doing this for you. Now, I'm not equating Aaron and the priest and the Catholic. I'm just saying, it was to God. You are a royal priesthood. It's what you do for him. It's not you. I serve God's people as a minister, but I'm also a priest. You serve others, all right? But it's still for God. And Jesus Christ was the high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Go to Hebrews. Go back there. Chapter 7. It says in verse 1, Hebrews 7:1, it says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings, blessed him, in whom also Abraham gave a tenth of all. First, being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after also the king of Salem, which is the king of peace." Salem is the first name of the city of Jerusalem in the Old Testament. He's king without father, without mother, without descent. He's got no lineage. He just comes on the scene in the Bible in Genesis, and nobody knows where he came from, and nobody knows where he went after this. But look at what it says here. Having no descent, having neither the beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoil. For verily they that are of the sons of Levi, whom receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes in Abraham, and blessed him that hath the promise. See, Melchizedek blessed Abraham, who had the promise of God. Abraham had the promise. God made the covenant with Abraham. But God had his high priest bless Abraham. And that's just extraordinary. See, in this whole thing about giving, it says, so Abraham gave tithes, right? So that means everybody out of his line also showed that honor. Because Abraham, the father of all who believe, honored Melchizedek because he was God's high priest. But Jesus Christ is going to be the one who does this. Verse 11. If therefore perfection were of the Levitical priesthood, for under it came the people receive the law, what further need was there of another priest that should arise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priest being charged, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. For he whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, for which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. It is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of carnal commandments, not after the Old Testament law, which was a pattern of what was to come, but after the power of an endless life. For he testified, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandments going before for the weakness and profitableness thereof. The law made nothing perfect and profitable. So what this chapter is telling you, Melchizedek was the high priest. After his order, Christ is now the high priest. Melchizedek came forth with bread and wine. Jesus Christ at the Last Supper came forth with bread and wine. He does this after he's consecrated high priest. He is the sent one that's going to die, and he's talking about the new covenant that he is going to institute. And the reason why it's no longer after Aaron's law, or after the Levitical priesthood and the Aaronic high priest line, is because it's done away. And God makes sure that it's covered. I can't believe the detail God goes through in the scripture. I mean, if you just tell me that Jesus is my high priest, okay, I'll believe you. But God goes over and has to prove it. He is loving enough to tell. And remember, the book of Hebrews is written to the Jews who have to understand why the law is no longer relevant to them anymore. Why there no longer is a priesthood, and a Levitical priesthood, or an Aaronic high priesthood. Because Jews have been raised their whole life to do what the book of Moses, the first five books of the law, says. And what God is doing is proving to them, no. There was another, greater, more important priest line. And even Abraham tithed to him. And everybody who came out of Abraham is, in a sense, honoring that first high priest, Melchizedek. And Jesus Christ, who is after this order, lives forever. I just think it's awesome. Verse 20, insomuch as not without an oath, he was made a priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath. So remember, God says, I swear forever you're going to be a priest after the order of Melchizedek. That's an oath. God took an oath. Aaron, the Levites, no oath. I appoint you. I appoint you to the job. I choose you to do this job, to serve me. This was with the oath. Just like the oath God did with Abraham for the promise, the new covenant. So for this priest were not made with an oath, but this with an oath. By him that saith unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made of a surety, a better testament, a better will, an oath. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. Every one of those high priests that of Aaron's line died. But this man, because he continues forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Our Lord is 2,000 years later, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God in the holy tabernacle, serving God, and he is our high priest. You know what the high priest does? Just go to Hebrews 4. And again, 14. It says, seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. He felt everything that you and I go through in life. He's not untouchable. He's not disconnected from you and I. He went through the sufferings, the chaos of this life. Just think of all that he went through. Here he is, a sinless Son of God, filled with love, power, compassion, and yet he endures the world. You can walk around with love and compassion, and yet you got to endure the evil that's in this world. And there's plenty of it. The same devil spirits are running the show, just like they did back then. But was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You know, I can come boldly to God before that throne because my high priest is ministering to God on my behalf because of what he accomplished on the cross and what he did and what God made him. He can plead our cause. You know, now he doesn't do it. I do it to him. And he does it to God. That's another. No, it's we go to the Father, but the reason I have the right to go to the Father is because of what he did. I don't have the right to come to the Father on my own. But because I have a high priest that lives forever, who's compassionate and understands the troubles that we go through, we can come boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in the things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, the ones that have fallen to the side, that he himself also is compassed with infirmities. See, those priests always knew they were sinners too. They could have compassion. If they were God-fearing good men, they could have compassion on those who were stupid, ignorant of God's word, and or, you know, not all there. People who fell short. And then those that were turned out to the side, they could have compassion on them. They're not, people are not to be thrown away. They're not trash. They may choose to walk away. But I'll tell you what. Tell me who Jesus gave up on. Did he give up on Judas? I mean, the one that you would think. Now, he told plenty of them that you're going to be judged for what you believe. The word is the thing that's going, you're going to be judged at the end. Jesus didn't throw them away. He was there pleading for their lives. People are not disposable. You serve God. You're not serving them. And God and our Lord never threw anybody away. Like I said, they may reject. They may walk away. They may, but you got to have compassion. Remember the story and account of Jonah? Jonah was so, he disliked these people at Nineveh so bad. I mean, you got to really dislike somebody really bad to try to run away from God, and I'd rather drown than go there. Okay? I mean, now we're talking about some deep, deep stuff, okay? And this is from a man of God, a prophet. And God ain't putting up with none of it. So he has the fish swallow Jonah and throw him up on the shore, and he raises him from the dead. And then he says, now go. And then God, remember that thing at the end with the goad, the plant? And God, he's all, wants it in the shade. God gives him this goad, and then the goad drops dead. It withers away. And he said, Jonah, how can you have so much feeling for the stupid plant, the goad, and not for these? And they don't know their right hand from their left. They don't know if they're coming or going. And you got no compassion for the people, and you got more compassion for this plant. Tell me who God throws away. Now, I don't care how much you dislike anybody. And there's a lot of people to dislike. Okay? You don't get along with everybody, right? We don't mesh. I'm not in this church and you ain't with me because you mesh with my flesh. The one thing that we mesh with is the word. That is the hangout thing that brings this church. That's where we are of one mind and of one heart. And we all, and the same we speak the word. So consider Jesus Christ. He's our high priest. He entered into the heavenly tabernacle with his blood once forever. And consider what the word says about you. He ministers on our behalf, and we minister here on God's behalf. We are to carry out the mission that he said, okay, I'm leaving, you guys do it. You carry out the mission of reconciliation. And you have my Father in you, and you'll have me in you, and you are not there to point out everybody's sins. You're not a cop giving out tickets. You're there to teach and to preach the word. And the word may give out the ticket. The word may tell people, you tell them what the Bible says. They may not like this at all. Now, who are you to tell me this? I'm just relaying the message from my Father. And they may hate you, and they will. I mean, if you do it really right, they'll hate you. And they may beat you, just like they did Paul and Peter and the rest. But you got to choose. You got to choose who you're going to serve. And I just thought that these thoughts about who our Lord is, it's not just academic. Oh, yes, he's high priest and he did this. There's a part for us. There's a practical part in our living, in our walking in his steps. He is the apostle. Without him, there's nothing. Yet you are also sent, apostello. You are also sent ones. And I dare not turn my back on it. So I hope, I know it wasn't the clearest teaching I've ever done, but I just hope it blessed you and put some things together for you. So God bless. Father, I thank you for your love and goodness and for your great grace, your tender mercies. Thank you, Father, that you sent our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I thank you so much for what he has done. He was the one who paid the terrible price. He did it for you, Father, on our behalf. He's given us his righteousness. He's given us his mercies and his grace. We have forgiveness of sins. We have, Father, wisdom and power and love because of what he did. We don't have it on our own. We didn't earn a blessed thing. Thank you for your love and your care for each and every one of us. Thank you for watching over our lives and help us to fulfill this ministry of reconciliation, Father. Help us to be faithful to the ministry and to the purpose of our lives. And I thank you, Father, that we can walk in love, that we can walk in his mercy, his grace. I thank you that we have hearts of compassion towards all those who are stupid and all those, my God, who come up short and are on the wayside. And they've walked away, and I thank you that we can have that kind of compassion for every single soul and not flip them off, my God. And I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.